Good morning, everybody. My name's Theodore from meinsecure.org. I'm glad I've got a little fan club of one or two, apparently. And thank you all for coming, and Black Hat for having me. I first want to warn you that this talk is not going to be about cross-site scripting bugs in social networks or hijacking Twitter feeds or anything like that. It's going to be about port scanning and more port scanning. And if you don't like port scanning, then the next hour is going to be your worst nightmare. Because for me to talk about something else would be kind of like Dan Kaminsky giving a talk which didn't involve DNS in some way or another. I mean, sure, you know, I'll probably throw in some OS detection and MMAP scripting engine action, just as Dan might use DNS in order to tunnel YouTube videos in order to rickroll some poor schmuck. But in the end, we're basically both just expanding on our core topics. And my core topic, as you can see from the title slide here, is scanning the internet. And that's because I've spent a lot of time over this summer scanning millions of internet hosts. And when I tell people that, they're sometimes like, you know, why would you do that? And to me, I feel like scanning is its own reward, and you don't necessarily need a reason to do this sort of thing. But in this case, I actually did have some reasons and concrete reasons for doing so. And so let's take a look at them. One of my first goals was to collect empirical data and use it to enhance Nmap functionality. And we're going to talk about some of that in the presentation, which I'm going to have to maybe skip over some stuff because we're running a bit late. But use it to enhance Nmap functionality and add some neat new features. I also want to use the data to help knowledgeable people like you guys make your scans more effective. Basically, I find that some people make assumptions on how networks are structured and populated, and then use those assumptions to decide what sort of scans they think are going to work. The problem is that these assumptions are basically based, in many cases, on how they would set things up, and they don't always reflect real-world network conditions. So it's better when you can to get empirical data if it's available. And if it's not available, well, this presentation is going to talk about ways that you can collect that sort of information. Another goal of the project was detecting and resolving Nmap bugs and performance issues. Basically, when you're scanning millions of hosts, that basically puts Nmap up against pretty much every sort of networking condition imaginable, you know, all over the place. And so in the process, I found, you know, one bug that caused Nmap to crash and fixed that, a bug that caused Nmap to deadlock. And there were a lot of cases where it was just going slower than I thought it should. And so I was able to track some of those down and make improvements to the algorithms to handle those conditions better. And finally, the fourth goal is to demonstrate techniques useful for routine scans as well as wide-scale internet scanning. So the idea is, hey, if this scan works well against 25 million IPs, then it'll probably work well even if you're only scanning 25,000. I also want to demonstrate a few cool new Nmap features, some of which, you know, aren't really related to the wide-scale scanning, but just seem too cool to leave out. It would also help me to get an idea of how much introductory Nmap material I need to cover. Could I get a show of hands from anyone here who's already used Nmap? All right. Well, that's about all of you then. So we'll skip the Nmap for newbies section and go straight to the logistics of large-scale internet scanning. The first challenge you'll have is, hey, what are the targets? Who am I going to scan? And in my case, I was actually doing dozens of large but targeted scans rather than one giant one, because each scan was designed for a specific purpose to get specific information that I was looking for. But when you're deciding what targets you want to go after in a large-scale scan, you have many options. There's BGP routing tables. Basically, you can look at the networks that are routable, DNS zone files. The regional registries make public the data of what IPs they've allocated. But in the end, I mostly used Nmap's own random IP generation function. That has advantages in terms of it already knows, hey, don't worry about 127.0.0 whatever. Don't worry about large address space that hasn't yet been allocated. Don't worry about multicast addresses. And so here's an example of these sort of commands that I was tending to use. In this case, we do nmap. We say generate the input targets randomly. In this case, we generate 25,200,000. I really only wanted 25 million here, but I put some extra in case there's duplicates. SL says do a list scan, so we don't want you to actually scan these IPs, just list them out for us. Hyphen N, we don't want to worry about name resolution because that would take a long time and isn't important at this stage. We basically grep and awk to grab the IP addresses. We sort it and unique it to remove duplicates. Now here we have a question of what we want to do. We have an option here. We could use sort with the hyphen capital R to then randomize that list again. But doing so has advantages and disadvantages. The advantages of keeping it sorted like this is nmap will go a little bit faster because hosts that have numerically similar IP addresses will often be on the same network or at least on the same continent, which helps make nmap faster because all of them in its scan group have similar timing characteristics. It's also nice because you can see when your scan is running, you kind of have an idea of how far it's gone by what IP address it's reached up to. But there are downsides as well. One of them is that you kind of have to finish all the 25 million addresses before you really have a representative scan of the internet, because otherwise you've just scanned, you know, the earlier nodes. Also, if you shuffle it, to some degree, it's less intrusive on the target networks because since you're scanning over the whole network at any given time, a given network will probably only have, you know, one IP being scanned by you at most. Whereas when you sort it like this, you'll often have scans that are targeting the same big network at the same time. But in this case, as you can see, we just left it sorted. So once you find your targets, the next question is, what about the scan source? Where are you going to scan from? And that's a big issue when you're doing a big scan like this. And I thought through a lot of ideas. One was sort of a P2P, peer-to-peer scanning idea. The basic idea was I was going to distribute a client. I was going to call it nmapster. And people would use that and run it, and it would scan IP addresses and return the results back to me. And so the nice thing there is that it would give a real distributed scan and allow many people to participate. The problem is that, remember, a key goal was to make nmap better and more effective for people in their normal scans. So I really wanted to do these scans just using plain command line nmap like everyone else does, as opposed to, you know, writing special software to distribute them and the like. The other thing was legal issues. I knew that with a big scan like this, I was sure to raise some eyebrows. And I don't want to get kicked off my ISP again. And I also, you know, obviously don't want to get arrested. So I thought, what's the best way to do these scans and not get busted for it? So the idea I had is I'll just do them all through my neighbor's openless wireless access point. But I decided, no. That would be completely inappropriate and unethical, and more importantly, she didn't have the bandwidth to make it work. So I decided to do the scans through an ISP that I have a co-location machine set up at, and their response was very quick. I thought maybe I could go under the radar with this. No way. Basically, like within 15 minutes of the first scan, they contact me frantically saying, basically, what the hell are you up to? We see your machine. They thought maybe I was infected by one of the most virulent internet worms they had ever seen. They're like, this machine is scanning thousands of different hosts all over the internet every second. You know, what's going on? They were talking about shutting me down. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not infected. I'm doing that on purpose. And that didn't help my case at all, let me tell you. They basically thought I must be some sort of spammer, or even worse, if that's possible. And so I was like, well, this is no good. I'm totally busted. I'm going to have to cancel the scan. I'm going to have to change my Black Hat presentation to do that cross-site scripting thing. This is going to blow. Fortunately, it turned out that they were nmap users, the admins. And when I said I was going to make nmap faster and more effective with these scanning, they were like, oh, well, carry on then. had to slow it down quite a bit so that it didn't melt their switches. The U.S. Department of Defense, I'm afraid, was not quite so accommodating. They didn't approve of my scans at all and complained that I was scanning sensitive military installations and that sort of thing. And I would have been happy to remove them with the NMAP exclude file option to remove IP ranges, but of course they won't tell me the IP ranges because that's sensitive information too. So there wasn't much I could do about this, so I just went on. Although, given that this is the military, I've been getting nervous when planes fly overhead and the like. But it seems to be okay now. And the Joint Task Force for Global Network Operations will hopefully not be a problem. The next issue is firewalls. For some of my scans, all I wanted was internet data, and that did everything I needed. But some of the data, I really wanted to see what it was like behind the firewall, so that I could mix that in and be more representative of all the different types of scans that people tend to do. The problem, of course, is that this scanning was on the internet, and network conditions often differ significantly between firewalls versus internet scanning. And so fortunately, I was able to bypass several of these firewalls, not through some sort of advanced overlapping fragmentation attack, but using a method called asking for the data. And there are a lot of big enterprises and organizations that scan their network every day with NMAP anyway, and we're happy to contribute some anonymized data to the project. So that helped a lot. Another challenge is performance and accuracy. And this isn't one of those challenges where I was trying to work around it or find some hack to get around it. This was actually one of the core goals, remember, is to improve NMAP performance. And so I took this one and tried to work with it. However, the internet scanning is still long, hard work and can be disheartening. Here's an example from a 65,000 port UDP scan where it basically says it's been scanning for 94 hours. These are the first 2,048 hosts that it's even found up, and it's still scanning them. And it has negative 688 hours remaining. Your scan time estimates end up with integer overflow problems and turn negative, that's not a good sign for being able to finish them in time for, say, a Black Hat presentation. So that one's still running. So that basically gets us through the initial introductory stuff of the scan. And so now let's get to more concrete data and how the scan data can be used to help you make your scans more effective. And the first place we should start is host discovery, because that tends to be one of the first stages in the network reconnaissance. You basically want to scan the network and find all the hosts that are up and available so you don't waste your time doing long, intrusive scans against hosts that aren't even online on the network. And a long time ago, you could have just used echo requests. There was a day when basically you could send an echo request to all the IPs on the network and could count on the machines following the RFCs that back then said that you must reply to these echo requests. And so that made it easy. Unfortunately, that day when you could do that was like a decade ago, and nowadays the echo request packets are widely filtered. Now NMAP by default also sends a TCP acknowledgement packet to port 80. Which is another good way to try and generate a response and determine which hosts are live. However, and that helps a lot, but I would still say it's insufficient for any sort of internet scan, even if it's your own company scanning over the internet, if you need comprehensiveness in the hosts that you find. And so you have a challenge there of deciding on what sort of discovery methods you're going to use that seek a good balance between finding all the available hosts and not taking forever. So let's look at some of the different options that you have. First of all, NMAP offers a couple TCP host discovery methods, the SYN probe and the ACK probe. The SYN probe is best against stateful firewalls. The idea is you send a SYN packet, and if the stateful firewall is configured to allow it in for that port, then it'll say, okay, it's a connection initialization, let it through, and then you'll get a reset or a SYNAC back and know that the host is up. Against those stateful firewalls, the ACK probe is not effective at all, because the stateful firewall will look at that ACK and say, hey, this doesn't belong to any established connection, so I'm not even going to let it through and just drop it on the floor. However, with stateless firewalls, you have the opposite problem. The SYN packets, the stateless firewalls are able to block because they say, oh, this is starting an incoming connection. I know that I don't want those. I'm going to drop it. But the stateless firewalls are unhelpful against the ACK packets because they have no way of knowing that the acknowledgement isn't part of an existing session. So let's look at a quick example here. I think this is, assuming I can find the right terminal. Can you guys, hopefully you guys can read that. Let's go back here. And so we're going to say, we're going to go into our MMAP-X special black hat edition. So we're going to say ./nmap, hyphen n, because we don't want DNS resolution. We want to do a ping scan, and we're going to do a SYN probe to port 80, and at first we're just going to try sun.com. And so we scan it, and it immediately comes back and says the host is up. So it was able to receive the SYN packet and send back a SYNAC or a reset. Now we're going to try the same thing, but we're going to do an ACK packet to port 80. And this time NMAP goes, chugs away for a couple seconds, and it says, hey, the host seems down, host discovery has failed. So what you want to think about to yourself is, do they have a stateful firewall or a stateless firewall here? And the answer is that it would be a stateful firewall, because it did let the SYN through, but with the ACK packet, it had enough state to say, hey, this is bogus, there's no established connection like that, so I'm just going to drop the sucker. So now we've looked at the SYN probes and the ACK probes, and the question is, which one are you going to want to use? Because, you know, SYN works for some things and ACK works for others. Well, the nice thing is that it's not an either-or situation. The answer is to send both, so that your SYN probes will get through the stateful stuff and the ACK probes will get through the stateless filters. But then you have another question, which is what ports are going to be most effective for these probes? And this is a case, another case where a lot of people have assumptions. They say, oh, you know, I like to run these services and I set up my firewalls these sorts of ways, and so I think these ports will be most effective. And maybe they're right, but in reality, it's often a lot better to get empirical data to see what's going to work best. So I did some tests where I basically did some wide-scale scans of hundreds of thousands of hosts. And what I did is I took these scan results and I looked for machines that were very hard to detect from host discovery, machines that filtered the vast majority of the ports. Because the ones that don't have these filters are going to be easy for you to discover either. Anyway, we want to find the ports that work well against the machines that are hard to discover. So out of those, I looked for the ports that were most commonly responsive. And remember that I said responsive as opposed to open, because for TCP ports like this, a closed port is just as good as an open one as far as we're concerned. For discovery, that reset packet works just as well. And the ones I found were sort of the normal suspects. 80 was the highest, then SMTP, SSH, HTTPS. We have Telnet down here, because many devices still use that. Some people see this list and say, hey, you know, where are all the Windows ports? You know, 135, 139. And the answer is that, remember, this is against machines that have been firewalled. And if you go through the trouble to set up a firewall, you better darn well block those Windows ports. And so that's why those don't appear. Another discovery option, NMAP options, is UDP host discovery with the PU option, which is good not just for sophomoric jokes about PU, but it's also good for figuring out against machines where their firewall doesn't handle UDP. It's amazing sometimes how many people are, you know, go to the trouble of configuring the firewall or filters on their router, but they don't even bother to remember to worry about UDP. Or they have services that, you know, they can't just block. And here it's a little bit different because we don't want open ports. For UDP, we want them to head to a closed port, and that way we'll get an ICMP port unreachable back. Whereas an open port's unlikely to respond, and so it doesn't help us for host discovery. And so here I usually pick, you know, a few high-numbered ports basically at random, and then sometimes it's worth doing port 53 just because sometimes a network will allow that whole port number through, and for the machines that are actually running a DNS server, you won't get a response to the blank DNS UDP packet, but since they open the hole, you can at least find other hosts through using that port. So I advise 53 plus some large high-numbered ports. There's also ICMP host discovery methods, and I'll go through them real quickly. Basically, the idea is, you know, send an echo request because some hosts, you know, like Google.com and the like, will explicitly allow those and still block the other ones. But then you also want to try one of Netmask and Timestamp because many hosts will also, you know, say, oh, I don't want people pinging me, so they'll block echo request, but they won't bother to think about, hey, you know, Netmask and Timestamp request can do the same thing. Protocol ping is a new one, a new option that we have that lets you send packets in different protocols. Basically just sends the IP header with different protocol values and hopes that it gets a protocol unreachable back, which tells us that the host is live. So now again, as I've mentioned, the value of empirical data, you know, sure, we have all these options, but the question is, how much of a difference is it really going to make for us if we add all of these? Because it's certainly going to make your time, your scan time take longer, and you want to know how effective it'll be. So in this slide, I do a test where I first do a command like we saw before in order to generate 50,000 random IP addresses. And then I do an nmap scan just with its default ping scan against those addresses. And it chugs away and it finds 3,348 of those hosts up, and it takes 1,600 seconds, which is about 27 minutes. And so then I repeat that scan, and this time you can see I have a lot of discovery options I add. I have the echo request, the timestamp request, SYN probes to port 21, 22, 23, 25, 80, 113, 31339, and ACK probes to 80, 113, 443, 10042. And I also set the source port as 53 in order to maybe masquerade as a DNS reply for filters that allow that. And Nmap finishes, and this time it finds more than 1,000 extra hosts up. So it finds 4,473, but it takes a bit longer. So the question you have to ask yourself is it worth it to add this extra stuff? In this case, it took 71 minutes rather than 27 to do the enhanced discovery, but we found 34% more live hosts, which was 1,125. And I think for most scans where comprehensiveness is at all important, it's going to be worth it to you to take the extra time and find all the extra hosts. So that basically covers host discovery and making that more effective. Next, I just have this plea to upgrade your Nmap. Basically, as I mentioned, I made these performance enhancements, but they don't do much good when people are still using, you know, Nmap 2.53. I get these mails from people. They say, oh, you know, I found this big bug. And it's like, well, that's because you're using a version. You know, we fixed that bug 3 years ago. And it's so if people upgrade, it really will get faster and you'll get more features. The question you have is what version you want to upgrade to. We have 4.68 is the latest release version, which has most of the good stuff. But if you want even newer, you can grab the version from our Subversion repository. And if you want everything I talk about in this presentation, I have an experimental branch, which is the one I was just using, in our Nmap X directory, BHDC08 for Black Hat DEF CON. and that has some of the top ports features that I'm going to be discussing, and they'll probably be merged to the normal Subversion shortly after I get back. So now let's talk about top ports. This was the biggest scans that I was doing were for the top ports project, and the idea was scan all these IPs to determine the most commonly open TCP and UDP ports. And like I said, I also got contributions of data from certain organizations that were willing to help out. And then I took that data of how often, as a percentage, each port is found to be open, and then I augmented the Nmap services file that Nmap has, which lists all the different ports, because that enabled a lot of neat new functionality to be added. One of the first things I was able to change with this is the default scan ports. In Nmap 4.68, Nmap scans all the ports up to 1024, plus all the name ports higher than that, which is a total of 1,715 for TCP scans and 1,488 for UDP scans. Whereas with this augmented Nmap services, by default, Nmap just scans the most commonly found 1,000 ports, and so this makes it finish quite a lot faster, and at the same time, it often finds more open ports, because it turned out there were quite a large number of ports which we hadn't had in the services file, but still turn out to be open a lot more commonly than some of the obscure ports that happen to just have a name from the INA. And what made an even bigger difference is with the fast scan. With 4.68, the fast scan, which does all the named ports but not the up to 1024 thing, still ended up scanning 1,276 TCP ports and more than 1,000 UDP ports. And that kind of sucks, because it's like, hey, wait a minute, 1,488 for the normal, and then the fast is 1,017. You know, that's not going to make that much of a difference. It's almost an insult to call that the fast scan, when really, save 30% of the time or whatever. With the augment, but that was all Nmap could do, because it really didn't have a way to figure out what ports were most likely. So all it could say is, well, I'll scan every port I have a name for. With the augmented Nmap services file, the fast scan only scans the top 100 ports for each protocol. And so that makes it a whole lot faster, yet it's still similarly accurate, because the top 100 ports is a very high percentage of the ones that you find open. I'm most excited about this feature for UDP scans, because I found that a lot of people just weren't bothering with UDP scans. They said, oh, the scans take forever. It's hard to disambiguate whether they're open or filtered, because you just don't get a response. And I think now that Nmap's able to say, oh, do a fast scan with the top 100, you know, that helps resolve those problems and will hopefully lead more people to add UDP scanning to their arsenal. And here I give an example of how that can help. Here we do an Nmap scan, and we say do a UDP scan, and then we also include V for version detection. And the idea is that a normal UDP scan will say, hey, this port is open or filtered because I didn't get a response back from the port. But it's rare that you get a response which would prove that it's open, because most UDP services will just ignore blank packets that they don't expect. However, with the version detection added on, then Nmap will go through its Nmap services probes file, and it knows about a lot of different services and will interrogate them to try and figure out, you know, try and generate a response from the UDP service. So with 4.68, that command took 1 hour, 2 minutes, and 62 seconds. And so that's a long time to wait. It did find the port that was open there and give the version information, but that's still a long wait. With the Black Hat DC08 version, that same scan takes just 6 minutes and 29 seconds. So it goes dramatically faster, because it's only having to interrogate 100 ports. But since it knows which ports are popular, it still finds the same port open and useful. Then I tried something else. I did the Black Hat DC08 version, and I added the version intensity 0 flag. And that basically says, instead of spamming the port with every single UDP probe you know about, only send the UDP probes that are actually registered as sometimes using that port number. And so that dramatically decreases the number of probes it has to send. And in this case, it was able to figure out the results and get the same data as the other two scans in just 13 seconds. So you can see how by understanding Nmap's options better and targeting it to what you need, you can get the same information, and instead of waiting an hour, you just wait, 13 seconds. So that can help a lot. Two new features enabled by having the Nmap services augmentation are the top ports and port ratio features. So true, Nmap now has the default 1,000 ports. You can do a fast scan of 100 ports, or you can use top ports to scan as many machines as many ports as you want. So you might want to do 500, you might want to do 750, whatever balance you want to strike between how long the scan's going to take and how comprehensive your results need to be. The question then is, what sort of top ports number is going to work best? And here again is where empirical data will help. I mean, you might say, I only run, a couple dozen services commonly, so maybe the top 25 will be effective. But you can actually look and see how well it works with different numbers. So based on my scan data, using a top port of 10, which finishes almost instantly, gets you almost half of the open ports found from all our scans. 50 brings it up to 65, and you can see that as you increase the number, you get more and more comprehensive. So the default of 1,000 gets 93% of the ports found, yet it's still only less than 2% of the total 65,000 ports offered. So that strikes a good balance for your initial scans, although obviously when you want to be really comprehensive, you'll start some big scans going in the background too. Also, in case people are interested, these are the top TCP ports that I found open. And this differs from the ports we saw previously in host discovery, because those were just hosts that are responsive, whereas these are hosts that are either open, whereas these are just the open ports. Similarly, these are the top UDP ports I found. NetBIOS was high. The Windows ports basically dominated the lists, although you see SNMP and NTP and a few other common guys as well. And for UDP, it was even more dramatic, the amount of ports you could find with a fewer number of top ports, the lower top ports value. So here, with just 50 ports, you found 86%. And using the fast mode of 100 ports, you find 90% of them. So another feature that we've added recently is packet rate control. And this is one that I've been ambivalent about for years. Basically, I kind of felt like, hey, Nmap has really advanced congestion control mechanisms to detect drops and slow down and the like. And so why do we need this sort of bludgeon approach of specifying exactly the number of packets that you want to send? But it can prove useful in many cases. And I've met a number of people who used other scanners like ScanRand and Unicorn just because they wanted that sort of feature. And so since it was simple to implement, I decided to add it. And actually, it proved itself quite useful for these scans that I was conducting this summer as well. An even newer one is the max rate option. I added that right after I got that call from my ISP saying I was melting their servers. I said, oh crap, add this max rate option, which says, hey, you can scan, make sure your scan is at least the minimum rate, but don't let the scan go over in this, don't let it go over, 300 packets per second or whatever you specify. So let's put it all together and look at an example of the type of scan that I used for this project. I would say Nmap, hyphen capital S, and then I would give the source IP address that I used. I gave the debugging flag, but what I found is that I usually used Nmap's runtime interaction to change that. I would press D while Nmap's going to increase the debugging level just to kind of see what it's up to, and then I would press capital D a couple times to reduce it back down when I was done scrolling the screen with information. I specified a max scan delay of 10 milliseconds. I have the log files in all formats, and I used the new strf time feature that lets you automatically put the time and date on, which is useful. I tell it to scan all the ports, specify the max number of retries, randomize the hosts within each scan group, do all the ports scanned, discovery, minimum rate, maximum rate. I set a reasonably big minimum host group size in order to keep that, have the efficiency of scanning a large group at a time. And we've only got less than 10 more minutes since we've started late, so I may have to rush through this next session, which is some of the Nmap news, some of the new features that we've added, and cool stuff that I hope people find useful. One of them is the Nmap scripting engine. It makes the Nmap more modular in that you can write these simple scripts in the Lua programming language and execute them to do a number of host discovery techniques, exploits, vulnerability checking, basically whatever you can think of. And we ship now with about 50 of them. Here's an example where it's used to get the title of a web page. And I also have an example which I was going to demo live, but since we're out of time, I'm just going to use the canned version. And this is using the Kaminsky bug, which is a propos, because I think people are already streaming out to get in line for his talk. But basically, the idea is we want to test if a DNS server is using randomized source ports and randomized transaction IDs. So whenever it finds a... So here we do an example where we say Nmap, we give the script option, and we say DNS test open recursion. That just tests whether the DNS server allows recursion at all. Then we do DNS safe recursion port, which checks the ports, whether they're randomized. And then we have the DNS safe recursion transaction ID, which tests whether the transaction IDs are randomized. And so we do it against one of the authoritative name servers for blackhat.com, and also one for the Shmoo group that does ShmooCon. And in this case, the first one is blackhat.com. And here, it basically refused recursion, and so we weren't able to figure out more. The next one is the Shmoo group, and they did allow recursion, and it tells you the standard deviation of the transaction IDs and the sort ports, and both of them are great. I was thinking of doing a demo showing some of the many very poor ones and maybe having a little contest who can cache poison it first, but I figured that might not be so responsible. Another thing we've added is the ZenMap GUI, and I know a lot of people are like, GUI, you know, what the hell's going on there? We don't want some silly GUI. That's for lamers. But it actually can be pretty handy. I'll keep missing it. I'll show it here. Because it allows you to format things in better ways. For example, here we can see the normal Nmap output like the crappy Nmap FE used to show you. You can look at the ports and hosts and sort them, look at what each port has open. And then there's a new feature which basically says, hey, if we're going to call it the network mapper, maybe it should draw you a map. And so it has this cool eye candy feature. It shows you all these different hosts you tried to scan. You can do this crazy stuff about recentering it. It's pretty wild, and I wish I had more time to demo it, but I don't. And I'm going to skip through a whole bunch of stuff. NCAT's a really neat feature that's worth a minute. Basically, it's a re-implementation of Hobbit's venerable Netcat, which if you're Nmap users, you probably know and love Netcat as well. It supports virtually all of the Netcat features except for its simple port scan. I actually have another tool I like to use for that. It supports SSL both for encrypting your traffic between Netcats or for talking to HTTPS servers. IPv6 connection brokering, so you can have your Netcat connection broker on one machine and then your several machines behind NATs can all connect to your central server and talk to each other. Port redirection, proxies, basically a lot of stuff which I've always felt that Netcat should have, but didn't. And it's available now at this URL, and we're hoping to release it more publicly pretty soon. NDIF is a nice tool for showing the differences between two scans, and I'm going to skip it, but it's great if you scan your network every day. You can just put NDIF in your cron job, and so every day you can mail your report saying, hey, this new host is up. This web server changed from one version to another. This new port is open. And then another exciting thing is my book, which many of you know that I've been working on for many years. and it's almost ready for release in September. I'm going to release it on Amazon and bookstores and the like, but I felt like, you know, for the Black Hat crew, I couldn't come empty-handed. So I actually printed out a whole bunch of early copies for you guys and the DEF CON folks, and I brought a version, 70 copies, to the Black Hat bookseller, and they're on sale now. Although I'm giving the first talk of the presentation, and he said half of them are already sold. But there was about 30 left when I checked right before this presentation, and I'm going to do a signing, if anyone's interested, up at the booth right after this. I also wanted to do one slide to recognize the Nmap top contributors. Basically, I get too much credit in many cases. Yes, I released Nmap, you know, 11 years ago, but it's certainly not me doing everything. And so I just have this slide that shows the people who have contributed. And this is just since 4.50, which was like 9 months ago. So basically that's it. I won't take questions because people obviously want to get to Dan's talk, but I will be at the books. I'll take questions at the bookseller for the signing. So if you have any questions for me, I'll be there right now.